Church podcast. This message is part of our series, Losing It. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
Hello, New Point. I want to welcome you today. We're glad that you're here with us. We're in this series called Losing It. And here's what we're learning, that we're emotional creatures. God's created us that way. And so we can get emotional. Matter of fact, we can lose it, can't we? Have you ever had these thoughts? I'm about ready to lose it. I'm about ready to come unglued. It's about ready to hit the fan. Sure, all of us have experienced that. And God has created us as emotional human beings. And yet we don't want to lose it, because when we lose it, there's a lot of damage that comes about because of that. And we don't want that. And we don't need that. And so we've decided to look at some emotions that kind of happens in your life and in my life that maybe puts us to the edge of where we lose it. Last week we looked at anger, and if you weren't here, I want to encourage you to listen to that. Download the podcast or get a CD today. Because here's what we have to understand. Our tendency is, when we deal with the negative emotions in our life, we have a tendency to want to numb them, ignore them. And when we do, we rob ourselves of really being able to experience the positive emotions, such as joy and peace and contentment. And God wants us to embrace all of them without losing it. And so today we're going to continue in this series called Losing It. Let me encourage you to take out your notes. Today we want to look at stress. Now, stress is a part of all of our lives. And here's what I believe. If you're not experiencing some level of stress, we need to take your pulse, because you just might be dead. Because the fact of the matter is, this impacts all of us. You see, you need a certain amount of stress in your life if you're going to accomplish anything. Stress is what gives you the ability and the energy to do things. But too much stress is not good for you. It's not good for me. Too much stress will cause me to lose it or to come unglued. And so we want to look at this emotion called stress. You see, here's what I believe. God has created you and me to live with margin in our life. Now, I know that's hard to believe, but it's true. It's how He's wired me. It's how He's wired you. And you say, well, what is margin, Dwight? Margin is that space between your current pace of life and your limits. And all of us here today have limits in our life. None of us are Superman, and none of us are Superwoman. It's just not who we are. We all have limits. We have limits on our time. God has made sure of that. We have 24 hours in a day. You're not going to get any more, and neither am I. You have 7 days a week. We have limits on our money, on our ability to make money. We have limits on our emotions. We have limits on the relationships that we can manage and have and experience. And so when we don't have margin in our life in these areas, we can't really fully enjoy the life that God has for us and the life that God desires for us, because we end up losing it. Now, the stress that you're experiencing right now or this past week is really not your problem. It's a symptom in your life and in my life. It's basically a symptom of what's going on in your life. And here's what I believe is the real problem, the root of most of our stress, if not all of our stress. It's fear. It's fear. I mean, fear is a crazy thing. Fear has the ability to paralyze us. Fear has the ability to cause us to do things that otherwise we would not do. And in the Bible, it has been said that there's 365 do not be afraid. Why? Because God knew that we would battle this all of our life. And so fear plays a large part in you and I being stressed out, losing it. And so here's my question today. What is your fear? What is your fear? You know, I was doing some research on this, and I learned that there is a new stress disorder. It's called FOMO. And here's what it is. It's the fear of missing out on something. The fear of losing out on something. You can look it up. Google it. It's there. And there are people who have been diagnosed with FOMO, the fear of missing out. And they get a prescription for it. And it's fed by what? What do you think it's fed by? Facebook. Because what happens is people get on Facebook and they see the Joneses experiencing this, and they see the Smiths having this vacation, and the Masons just bought a new car. And what happens is this fear comes upon them that they're going to miss out on something or lose something. And so it creates stress in our life. That's why we pack so much in our schedules, because we don't want to miss an event. We don't want to miss an activity. We don't want our children to be robbed of an experience. And so you know what? We fill their lives full of sports and dance and music, because we're afraid that if they miss out on an experience that somehow they're not going to be healthy. They're not going to be whole. And we live in a world of where we can hear and we can see everybody's experience through Facebook. And so fear drives us to the point of where we get stressed out because we're afraid we're going to miss out on something or that we're going to lose out on something. Here's another fear, the fear of failure or falling behind others. That will stress you out. When you begin to think, you know what? What happens if I fail? Or what happens if I fall behind? And you know the saying, when you catch up with the Joneses, what do? They refinance. And so part of our stress is the fear of failure or falling behind others. Another one is this, the fear of not making the most of your life. You know, is my life really going to count? Am I going to be able to come to the end of my life and know that I made a difference? Or maybe it's the fear of not having enough. It's that scarcity mindset that stresses you out. You know what? We've got 4 kids. How on earth are we going to pay for their college? We've got this going on. How are we going to pay for that? And what happens is you have the fear of not having enough. And really at the root of many of our stresses is the fear of missing out, the fear of falling behind, the fear of not making the most of our life or not making our life count, or the fear of not having enough. And so we need to name our fears. So let me ask you today, which one of these 4 is driving you? Are you afraid that you're going to miss out on something? And so, you know what? You've got your kids and your family scheduled for everything. Is it the fear that you're going to fall behind others or you're going to fail? Is it the fear of not making the most of your life, that you're afraid that somehow your life isn't going to count? Or is it the fear of not having enough and you're stressed out because you just don't know if you're going to have enough? You know, no one handled life better or did life better than Jesus Christ. I mean, he was a master at it. Think with me about the demands on his life, the demands on his time. He had constant demands. He had constant pressure. He had very little privacy. And yet, he was calm. he was cool and he was collective, even though he had enormous stress and pressure there. He handled it without losing it. And his life reflected a sense of calmness and peace. Matter of fact, you know what he says? He says, "My peace I will give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." What's he saying? He's saying, hey, I want to give you what I have. And so today we want to look at that. And he gives all of us an invitation. In Matthew chapter 11, it's there in your notes. Here's what he says. He says, "Come to me, all of you." That would be all of us. Everyone who hears my voice. Those of you who are online watching. "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, who are stressed out, who's losing it, who's coming unglued, and I will give you rest." That's a promise. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know what he's saying to us? He's saying, hey, if you'll come to me, I'm not going to lay anything on you heavy. Matter of fact, when you come to me, I'm going to give you rest. And I will teach you how to do life. I will teach you the rhythms of life. And so, what can we learn from him? Well, I think there's many things, but I want to share with you five things that I see when I study his life that will help you and I in this area of stress. Here's the first thing. You got to know who you are. You got to know who you are. This is huge. You've got to get this one if you're going to deal with your stress. If you're going to be able to handle stress, you've got to get this one. Because unless you settle this issue in your life, you'll always be at the mercy of stress. This is foundational. And Jesus had no doubt about his identity. He had no doubt about his identity. He says this in Scripture, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me." 18 times throughout the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus tells us who he is. He was very clear on who he was. There was no doubt in his mind. And for you and I, if we're going to be able to handle stress, we have to know who we are. Because if you're unsure of your identity, you will allow other people to pressure you to be someone that God never intended you to be. And I would say that, you know what, there are those of us here today who are experiencing enormous amount of stress because somebody is pressuring you to be somebody that God never meant for you to be. And so we have to understand our strengths. We have to understand our weaknesses. We have to understand our personalities. And you have to know who you are. You got to know who you are. You see, trying to be somebody else will stress you out. Trying to do something that you are not gifted at will stress you out. And so you got to know who you are. And so how do you do that? Well, you understand your strengths, you understand your weaknesses, and you do two very important things. You avoid comparing and you avoid copying. See, when you know who you are, you don't have to compare yourself to other people. And this is really huge in our society today because we're always comparing ourselves to other people. How they do something and how we do something. What they own and what we have. And that'll just stress you out. Because what that'll lead you to is wanting to copy them. And you will always be stressed out if you're trying to be somebody that God never intended you to be. And so you have to settle this first and foremost. You got to know who you are. And today, If you've accepted Jesus Christ as the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life, you are a child of God. You're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. It doesn't get any better than that. And so you have to know who you are. And Jesus Christ knew this. He wasn't going to allow anybody to put him in a box. There was all kinds of people who wanted him to be something that God never intended him to be. And yet because he knew who he was able to withstand that. And you're always going to have somebody. It might be your dad, it might be your mother. It might be a teacher, it might be a coach. It might even be a pastor who's trying to get you to be someone that God never created you to be, never intended you to be, and it stresses you out. See, the great thing about the Christian faith is you get to be you. That's a de-stressor. You get to be you. And so you've got to know who you are. Here's a second one. You got to know whom you want to please. You got to know whom you want to please. This is huge too. After you know who you are, then you have to know who you want to please. And this is very, very important because stress comes from trying to please everybody. Would you agree with me, Mom? Absolutely. I mean, it just stresses you out, Mom. You're trying to please everybody in your family. And what happens is you wind up not pleasing anybody. And so you got to know whom you want to please. Look at what Jesus said. Jesus said, "I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me." Jesus even said, "Hey, you know what? It's not even my desire to please myself because I know that life doesn't work well that way. My ultimate goal is to please God." And so you have to ask yourself that question. You see, Jesus' motivation for life was to honor God, was to trust God, was to please God. And you have to ask yourself today, what is my motivation in life? Is it to please God? Is it to please myself? Is it to please other people? Is it to be popular? Is it to make a lot of money? Is it to get my ego stroked? You see, you have to ask yourself, what is my ultimate goal in life? Who do I want to please? And Jesus settled this. Jesus settled this. So here's the question that we have to ask. Whose approval means the most to you? Whose approval means the most to you? Is it your kids? Then you're going to be stressed out. Is it your parents? Then you're going to be stressed out. See, let me just give you a little nugget here. If you're 30 years old or older and you're still trying to please mom and dad, you're one miserable person. Because you can't please them. You're never going to be able to please them. You may never be able to get your daddy's approval. You may never be able to get your mother's approval. You may never be able to get your boss approval. And so you have to ask yourself, whose approval means the most to you? God says, you know what? I'll give it to you through the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus knew that. Jesus understood that. He had people pulling at him from all different sides and angles, trying to manipulate him, trying to control him. And yet he was able to withstand all of that. See, Jesus said you cannot serve two masters. Why? Because it'll stress you out. It'll stress you out. If you're trying to please everyone, it'll just stress you out. Somebody has said, "I don't know the formula for success, but I know the formula for failure." And that is to try to please everybody. You just can't. You know, here at New Point, you know what? My ultimate goal is not to please you. Sorry, I'm not going to the nut house. No way. I can't. My ultimate goal is to be able to please God and to honor God And to have him be able to say, Dwight, you're being faithful. And so you have to ask yourself, whose approval means the most to me? You see, here's the key to be able to eliminate a lot of stress for your life. You live for the audience of one. One person. And that person is Jesus Christ. And so you need to know who you are. But you also need to know whom you want to please. And you have to settle that. And when you settle those two things, I promise you, your stress level will begin to reduce. Here's the third one. You need to know what you want to accomplish. You need to know what you want to accomplish. And this is very important. And the reason why this is important is because you can't do everything. You know what we say? The root of most stress is fear, the fear of missing out, the fear of not having it all. Well, the fact of the matter is you can't have it all. You can't do it all. If you try to do it all and have it all, you know what? You're going to be completely stressed out. And Jesus was very clear on what he wanted to accomplish. Look what he says here. He says in John, he says, I know where I came from and where I am going. John 8:14. He says, I know where I came from and I know where I'm going. I know what I'm about. I know what I want to accomplish. I know what I want to do. You see, you and I have to decide whether we're going to live by pressures or by priorities. That's what you have to decide. You say, well, what's the difference between pressure and priorities? Well, pressure is what other people want you to do. Priorities is what God wants you to do. Pressure is when you and I live for the urgent. Priorities is when you and I live for what is important. Pressure is when you and I live to impress people. We give in to pressure because we want to impress people. When you and I live by priorities, we impact people. And you have to decide. You have to decide whether you're going to live by priorities or by pressure. And this is huge. And the fact of the matter is, for many of us here today, we live by pressure. What other people think, whatever people say, how they're going to respond. And that will stress you out. You see, if you live by pressure, you will allow other people to determine the course of your life. And you'll end up not doing the most important thing. See, Jesus came to the end of his life, and you know what he said? I have completed the work that you have assigned me. Think of that. In 3 years, he was able to complete everything that God had assigned him. Now, had he healed everybody? No. Had everybody become a Christ follower? No. Had everybody heard the good news? No. Most of the world still did not know about Jesus Christ and his life and his death and his resurrection. And yet Jesus came to the end of his life and he said, I completed the work that you gave me. What does that mean? It means that God doesn't expect you and I to do everything. And here's what I want you to get today. You have just enough time to do the will of God. Y'all right on that one? So if you're saying, I wish I had more hours in the day, I wish I had more days in the week, or weeks in the month, then what that says of us is that we're doing more than what God wants us to do. Y'all right on that one? What that says is that we're living by fear. We have the fear of missing out, the fear of losing, the fear of falling behind, the fear of not having enough. We're allowing fear to grab our hearts. And so we're living these lives that are jam-packed. God would say to me and God would say to you, you know what? I've given you just enough time to do what I want you to do. So you got to know what you want to accomplish. Here's the fourth thing that we can learn from Jesus. You got to know how to delegate. You got to know how to delegate. Why? Because God doesn't expect you to do everything. You can't do everything. But you know what we say? And this brings a lot of stress on. If you want a job done right, somebody help me. Do it yourself. You're right. If you want a job done right, just do it yourself. And that's the motto of the perfectionist that's headed for a burnout. That's the motto of the leader who's going to crash and burn. You see, Jesus didn't do everything. Jesus knew how to delegate. And we have to learn this from him. Look at what it says about his leadership in Mark 3:14. He, Jesus, appointed, that's delegated, 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. See, Jesus pulled some people around him in a community. He realized that what God wanted him to do was a part, not all. And so he invited 12 apostles with him, and he learned how to delegate. Now, why don't we delegate to people? And by the way, before I go there, let me just say this. This is why it's important at your house with your kids that your kids have chores. Y'all okay on that one? They need to know that, you know what, they're here and they're a part of the family and they have responsibilities. You need to delegate some of that to them, Mom. You need to delegate some of that to them, Dad. But the reason why we don't delegate as adults really is because of two reasons. One is because of perfectionism, okay? I mean, we have a tendency to think that nobody can do it as well as we can. And Jesus was perfect in every way, and yet he still chose to delegate things. And the fact of the matter is, probably in some cases, nobody can do it as well as you. But you have to ask yourself, do I want to live with this stress that may end up causing me to lose it or to come unglued? And so perfectionism is one. The other one is insecurity. Guess what? They may be able to do it better than you. And you don't have the confidence to be able to allow people to flourish around you. And so you want to keep all that control. And so the key is to live interdependently with one another, to be able to appreciate and to affirm one another, and to be able to know how to delegate and invite other people to help you with life. And that takes humility. The Bible says that pride goeth before the fall. And Jesus knew how to delegate. So let me ask you, what do you need to give up and delegate to somebody else? And just say, you know what, I'm going to entrust you with this. You'll find your stress going down and your peace and joy going up. Let me give you this last one that we learned from Jesus. You need to know how to recharge yourself. You need to know how to recharge yourself. Jesus was a master at this. When you study the life of Christ, you find out that he knew how to recharge himself, to renew himself. And I believe that the more you deal with people, the more you need to practice this. This is what Jesus said to those who were walking with him in Mark chapter 6, verse 31. He says, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some what? Rest. Get some rest. You see, here's what we have to understand. You need to know how to recharge yourself because your input must match your output. If your input into your life does not match your output, you know what? You're going to lose it. You're going to come unglued. It's going to hit the fan. You're going to have a train wreck. And so your input must match your output. And Jesus knew that. So Jesus came away from people, even though there were all kinds of people wanting to be with him. Matter of fact, God established this very early in life when he said this in Exodus through Moses. He says, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." Wow. Sabbath means to take a rest. And God shared with the people of Israel, who were in captivity for 400 years, all they knew was what? Work. And he said, "You know what? I'm setting you free from Egypt. And I'm going to create margin in your life so that you're not going to work 24/7. I'm going to give you a Sabbath so that you can recharge." Jesus said it like this. He said, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." It's a gift from God to you and me to recharge our emotions. And I think that there's four keys to a Sabbath. One is to be able to recharge our life, to refocus our life. You see, that's why we're encouraged to come every weekend and to be able to worship God, to celebrate God. And to be able to refocus our life. And when we cut time out and we say, "You know what, God, I'm going to have a Sabbath." What we're saying is, "I trust you, God, that you can do more in 6 days than I can do in 7 days alone." And here's what Paul says that we should do on the first day of every week when we come to a service. He says, "On the first day of every week, each of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up." Because what's the two things that stress us out the most? Time and money. And God says, "I want you to do this at the first day of every week. I want you to come and gather and give me your time and give me your treasure. And that'll demonstrate that you trust me. And I will make up the difference." And so we're called to refocus our life on a Sabbath. The second thing is to rest your body. To literally rest your body. You know, God himself worked 6 days and then he rested on the seventh day. Why? To give you and I an example. You know, take a good nap. Sometimes that's the most spiritual thing that we can do. Do you know that? What do we say about our kids? "Oh, Johnny's grumpy. He didn't get his nap." Do you know that we're grumpy? We'll say because we're stressed out. No, because you didn't get a nap. Your body was not made to run continuously. And so we refocus our life. We rest our body. We renew our emotions. You see, what happens is your emotions and my emotions get spent. And God says, "I'm giving you a day. I'm giving you a Sabbath, a day of rest, of where you can come back and renew your emotions." And then finally, reconnect your relationships. And I would say that would be with family. And when you and I refocus our life, we rest our bodies, we renew our emotions, we reconnect with our relationships, you know what happens? We recharge our life. And something amazing begins to happen. We feel renewed. We feel recharged. And God gave that to you and me as a gift. So let me ask you as we wrap up, which of these do you need to focus in on? Jesus did all five of them, but I'm just going to ask you to focus in on one. Maybe you need to come back and really begin to settle who you really are, your identity. Or maybe it's that you need to settle, who are you really going to please? Whose approval are you after? Or maybe you need to settle, what do I really want to accomplish in life? Or maybe I need to learn how to delegate. And I've been caring way too much. And I need to ask for some involvement of some other people. Maybe at work, maybe at home. Or maybe you need to know how to recharge yourself. And maybe you need to say, you know what? I'm going to begin to take a Sabbath. You see, one of the ways in which we want to help you do that is we have what we're offering called discovery groups. And we're talking about intimacy with God. We're talking about involvement in community and influencing your world. That's part of God's rhythm for your life and for my life. And Jesus said, come unto me, all of you who are maxed out, burned out, stressed out, and I will give you rest. Come and learn from me. And so let's learn from him so that we don't lose it, so that it doesn't hit the fan, so that we don't come unglued. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you today for who you are. We thank you that you modeled for us how to live in a stress-filled world. And that you've even told us that you're willing to teach us, that we can learn from you so that we're not weary and burdened and stressed out and maxed out. And so, God, I pray for all of us today that we would take that one step and begin to implement it in our life. And watch you lower our stress and watch the joy and peace in our life go to a new level. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media and don't forget to subscribe through iTunes. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.